familiar? If your baby is going through another bout of bad diaper rash, then you need to give Dr. Mom Butt Balm a try. It was created by a mom who's also a doctor. When my kids were little, I remember using this thick, goopy cream to help soothe their sensitive skin. Ugh, it was so difficult to wipe off. Not with Dr. Mom Butt Balm. You only need a small amount, and it's really easy to apply and remove. It's also free of dyes, preservatives, and zinc oxide, so it's gentle on your baby's delicate skin. Help your baby feel better and get relief from irritating diaper rash with Dr. Mom Butt Balm. Look for it on Amazon and Walmart.com.
If you're breastfeeding and concerned you don't have enough milk, you may be thinking about taking herbs or other foods to boost your milk supply. These are known as galactagogues, but how do they help increase milk production? Which ones work best and which ones should you avoid? Today we're exploring the most popular galactagogues used to boost milk supply. This is the Boob Group.
Breast milk, it does a baby good.
Silly daddy, boobs are for babies.
I make milk. What's your superpower?
If my breastfeeding offends you, put a blanket over your head.
Dairy diva.
Don't be lactose intolerant.
Nursing nature's own breast enhancement.
Meals on heels.
Whoever said there's no use crying over spilled milk never had to pump.
Breast milk. All udders are inferior.
Whatever your point of view, we're here to support your breastfeeding goals. We're the Boob Group, because mothers know breast.
Welcome to The Boob Group, broadcasting from the Birth Education Center of San Diego. The Boob Group is your weekly online, on-the-go support group for all things related to breastfeeding. I'm your host, Leilani Wild. I'm also an IBCLC and owner of Leilani's Lactation and Doula Services. Have you downloaded our new network app? It's a great way to listen to The Boob Group and all your favorite new mommy media podcasts on the go. Plus, it's free. If The Boob Group has helped you on your breastfeeding journey, then please tell other breastfeeding mamas about it. And if you're on iTunes, please leave us a review so other parents can find us. Here's Sunny with more information about how you can get involved in our show.
Okay, well, we want to hear from our listeners. We want to hear from you guys and your breastfeeding and your pumping experiences. It just makes the show so much more fun. So there are a couple different ways that you can do that. We have different segments that you can be part of. So if you go to newmommymedia.com, go to the show section for the Boob Group and scroll on down, you'll see a section for segments. And those are the various ways you can participate. But I'll give you a few here that are my favorite. So we love to get mail from you guys, so to speak. So email nowadays, right? Tell us about an episode you like. Tell us about something that you learned, something like that. We love to hear from you guys, and we'll play those comments on the air. And we have a segment called Boob Oops, which I think is really funny. And that is where you share your funny breastfeeding and pumping experiences. And also a segment that is, we've had a lot of people submit for this lately, which is awesome. And that is called Mama Hacks. And it's where you share your breastfeeding or pumping hacks that you've come up with. So we all breastfeed and pump our babies in a little bit different way. So if you've found a way to overcome something that was kind of a pain for you, or just a way to enhance that overall experience, we would love to hear from that. So you can go to our website and submit via the contact link, or if you actually want to tell your own story as opposed to me or Leilani telling it for you, you can call our voicemail at 619-866-4775 and record your message, and then we'll play that on an upcoming episode.
So let's see. We're going to introduce our panelists.
I'm Bethany. I'm 28. I'm an inside sales rep at a promotional products company. I have two kids, a 14-month-old boy and an 8-year-old girl.
Awesome. And then online... Or actually, what would you call it?
On the phone.
Yeah. There you go. We have Dawn.
Yes, Dawn Kursula. And I am an IBCLC, and I've been helping moms through the Leche League. I'm now retired from there, but I've been helping moms with their babies for over 30 years. I have three kids of my own, all grown. And I have two grandsons up in Alaska. I'm in Vermont. And so one of the things that we're going to find today is that different people are going to say, what do you mean that's the most favorite galactagogue? Because it's different everywhere where you are.
Yep, I get that's true.
Sounds familiar? If your baby is going through another bout of bad diaper rash, then you need to give Dr. Mom Butt Balm a try. It was created by a mom who's also a doctor. When my kids were little,
I remember using this thick, goopy cream to help soothe their sensitive skin. Ugh, it was so difficult to wipe off. Not with Dr. Mom Butt Balm. You only need a small amount, and it's really easy to apply and remove. It's also free of dyes, preservatives, and zinc oxide, so it's gentle on your baby's delicate skin. Help your baby feel better and get relief from irritating diaper rash with Dr. Mom Butt Balm. Look for it on Amazon and Walmart.com. All right, so before we start our conversation today, there's a news headline out there that I thought was worth repeating, definitely, because this woman was pretty selfless in order to do this. This takes place in China, and there was a new mother who also happened to be a nurse at a hospital, and one of her patients that day was going to have a surgery. I'm probably going to mispronounce how you say this surgery, but a Crissum abscess surgery. Anyways, the baby would not stop crying. I feel like we've got like sound effects in the studio. We're not stop crying. Now go. Anyways, doctors didn't know how to get him to calm down, and he really needed to have the surgery. So this new mom, again, who happened to be a nurse, basically just breastfed him to get him to the point that he was calm and satiated, and they could continue on with the surgery. And it says here the baby's father spoke out about it and personally thanked the nurse for her kindness and said, "Thank you. You didn't only treat my child, you also nursed him. As a father, you have my endless gratitude. You are an angel nurse." And so, you know, we don't always hear stories like this about people that are willing to kind of go the extra mile, especially when it comes to breastfeeding and in a sense, kind of wet nursing for somebody else. And so just kind of wanted to throw that out there and see what you guys thought of this. Leilani, what do you think of this mama nurse?
Well, you know, it's kind of cool. I don't know how I'd feel if I had someone else volunteer to feed my baby, but I think it's pretty neat and kind of goes against when they say about surgery, you can't have anything to eat before you have surgery, right? So that, my thought was like, huh, you know, how does that affect them? But
that's
no,
true.
But I think, you know what, in other cultures, it's all about the village, right? Taking care of the family. And so I think, well, you know, why not?
Right. And actually, the mom isn't quoted in this article, so I'm not sure the situation there. But the baby's father was very happy because he really did need the surgery. And basically, the surgeons were ready to call it off because he couldn't get him to calm down. So props to the nurse.
Yeah, that's great.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Today on The Boob Group, we're discussing how to boost your milk supply using the popular known galactagogues. Our expert, Don Kersla, an IBCLC in Vermont. Thank you for joining us, Don, and welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here today.
Don, can you tell us what a galactagogue is, or however you want to pronounce it?
Is it galactagogue or galactagogue?
I've always heard of galactagogue, but you know what? This is another thing that I have learned. We all say things in different ways, and some people, when they have heart problems, they have angina, and others have angina, and both of them are correct. So we're going to go with whatever way we say it. But the thing that's most important is that it's a medication or an herb and or a food that's believed to help with breastfeeding. And I'm using the word, this definition is straight from the Academy of Breastfeeding Medicine Protocol. And it's very interesting to me that they say it's things that are believed to help the milk supply, because we need research. A lot of this is word of mouth, and we know that mama to mama is the most important kind of support that we can get, but it sure is nice when the research can back us up, but we need the research to be done. So I think that in the same way that we always used to complain, you know, the doctors would say, show me the studies. And so all those uppity women decided, well, then I'm going to do the studies. So now we're starting to have more of those studies. So I'm looking forward to the ones on initiating, maintaining, and being able to increase your milk supply with these different galactagogues, or galactic gods, however we want to say it. But the kicker on the research is that when you start looking at it, there are actually more than 400 different herbs and foods that are used worldwide to help moms to increase their milk supply.
Well, that says a whole lot right there. I mean, we think about all the different cultures around the world that use these, right? Different things to help their moms, because not all of them have access to what we call medication, right? To do that.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yep. And we don't all have villages that will breastfeed our babies for us if we can't. How does it work? How does it boost a mom's milk supply? Do you know?
Well, as you can imagine, if there's 400 different kinds, and we haven't done a lot of research, there's a lot of question about, or there's a variety of ways that things work. And interestingly, the first thing that I always look at and think about, which we probably knew on some level, but not to the extent that we are knowing more today, is hormones. Moms need hormones to be in balance, to be able to make milk. And there's actually the four that I think about right off are prolactin, which is for milk making, estrogen, which we're all pretty familiar with as one of those hormones that helps us as we're going through puberty. Another one that we're finding out more and more about is insulin. It's actually a really important hormone when it comes to making milk. And not only does the breast have prolactin receptors, it also has insulin receptors. And then another hormone that's quite important is thyroid hormone. And so moms that have running low thyroid levels or suddenly start doing that postpartum can also run into problems, and that can be quite a challenge. So some hormones, some galactagogues help prolactin to circulate longer in the body, and that's important especially in the early days to help increase the number of prolactin receptors. And many galactagogues we just don't know, and it's interesting that many of them also help regulate bad cholesterol. Like if you start looking at some of the foods in particular that are useful for helping your milk get better, and they also help with insulin resistance. And then there's a whole, if you start looking at the list from around the world, you'll also notice, well, gee, these are just things that are really good to have in your diet. So I wonder sometimes whether it's a thing of, we know that women around the world can make good, healthy milk for their babies, but sometimes it would be really nice if we were good and healthy and feeling loved and not stressed besides. So that's kind of my spiel on how different kinds of things can boost mom's milk supply.
Right, right. Well, it certainly makes good sense when we think about how we take care of our bodies and how our bodies will take care of our babies too, right? During
That's right.
birth
That's
and
right.
in postpartum, you know. So
absolutely.
Yeah. So, Bethany, were you concerned about your milk supply?
I was concerned. Elliot was perfect weight when he was born, but he had really bad jaundice, and so was hospitalized, and actually had a lactation consultant come in, work with us. He was only a week old, and we found out that I wasn't feeling let down, and I couldn't, he was never full. And something that she suggested was, you know, look up a list of things that you could eat. Almonds and oatmeal were one that I really remember. Oatmeal definitely did it for me, but it was still because I'm not sure. I don't understand really what was going on with my body at that time, but I wasn't feeling let down. And even when pumping, it just wasn't happening. And then along with fenugreek, I tried that. But it was that I felt like almost getting mood swings, and just the smell of maple syrup kind of did it in for me. I couldn't take it. My husband was like, "You got to stop taking that." but I tried those, and Elliot was dropping in weight. I couldn't provide him with enough. So I did definitely do a lot of research and try multiple things to try to boost my supply, but it didn't work.
And when you recognized at week one, is that when you recognized that you were having a problem
week
with your
one.
Milk supply? Yes. It's all about how we demand from our body. So I do recall you saying earlier that your baby had a tongue tie, right?
Yes.
So the signal wasn't getting across to your breast.
Correct.
Yeah. So Dawn, can you explain a little bit about that?
Absolutely. You know, one of the things that we wondered, we knew for years that supply the demand will make a supply when it comes to breast milk. But one thing that we really didn't understand was why that was the case. And Peter Hartman, back in the 1990s in Perth, Australia, did some research. And what he found was that there's actually a protein in mother's milk. And it's usually called something like inhibition of lactation factor, or I thought it was so-called factor for inhibiting lactation. So sometimes people will call it FIL. And there's a famous lactation consultant who works with preemies in Chicago, and she says, don't let FIL come to visit. And what she's talking about there is that if your milk stays in your breasts, which is what happens with a tongue-tied baby who can't do a good job of draining the breast well, what happens is that it tells the body, hey, we got plenty of milk here, don't make more. And especially in the early days, you know, what you really want is a baby who's signaling your breast to say, I may only want appetizers today, but I'm going to want a 10-course Italian dinner very soon. So keep making milk, keep making milk, keep making milk. And instead, what happened with Bethany and Elliot is that because Elliot wasn't draining her breast well, her breast thought, well, we've got plenty of milk here. It must be a baby that doesn't need a lot of milk. We've got enough. Let's not make any more. So on a very basic level, and our bodies, you know, are intricately and exquisitely made, but also simple. And so that's the simple answer. What a bummer. What a bummer when that happens. Yeah.
Right. You know, and I know that sometimes moms think they have a low milk supply, and they'll start, you know, from day one pumping or taking some like mother's milk tea or something like that in anticipation of maybe having a problem, perhaps maybe even a previous breastfeeding relationship, yes. Right? So how does a mom know if she really has a true low milk supply?
Okay, so I'm going to, like, this is one of those things where, like, you're gonna wish you had a pencil because, like, it's going to have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. But on the most basic level, the first thing that you really want to look at is, did your breast change when you were a teenager? So did your breast change at puberty? And also, did your breast change during your pregnancy? Because those can be markers for something called insulin resistance, and then going on to what's called insufficient glandular tissue. So there's actually an entire book about this now by Diana Kasser-Ull, and it's called Finding Sufficiency. And that's a very, very good book if your breasts haven't changed very much while you've been pregnant, or they didn't change a lot back when you were a teenager and during puberty. Then the second thing that you need to do is if you say to yourself, yes, my breast did change, that's not where the problem is coming from, then the second thing that you really want to do is look at your baby. And once you get to about 4 days postpartum, if you make the sign for okay with your hand, you want to be able to look at your hand and look at that O in okay. And by day 4, your baby should be giving you 4 poops that are the size of the O in that okay that your hand makes, that your fingers make. Now, some babies are going to give you only half of an O every single time that they eat, and other babies are going to poop right up their backs and right up into their hair. And both of those babies might be doing just fine, but that's about the amount of poop that you want, because a baby will not poop well if it's not eating well. And any time that you've got a baby, and I wonder if this happened with Elliot, that he still, at day 4, he might still have been pooping the meconium. And I actually work in a hospital, and when I'm looking at baby poop, I want those babies' poops to be turning green and be getting runnier by the time those moms go and babies go home. So anytime that you got a baby who's not clearing out what's in it in the bowel, you're going to be looking to see, is this baby really getting enough? Then another thing that you want to do is you want to be able to get to know your own breasts. So get to know your baby, look at your baby, and then also your breasts. And most of us are not very familiar with our breasts. Sometimes our partners are more familiar with our breasts than we are when we have new babies. And so in the hospital, very often I really like to see, we know that that there are various things that can make the milk come in later, but very often the milk will start coming in 36 to 48 hours after the placenta falls out. So what I really like is for moms to start knowing their breasts by walking their breasts around and getting to know, are my breasts starting to feel warmer? Are my breasts starting to feel heavier? And once you've got your baby on the breast, and you know the baby has settled down a little bit, or even before the baby comes to the breast, if you say to yourself, what do my breasts feel like? Because, you know, they don't have any lines on there that will show you, you know, how much did my baby take at this feed? But if you get to know your breasts, you can actually walk your fingers around. When you are up near your armpits in those early days, you may feel some things that some little milk glands in there, little milk cells, alveoli that are full, and they'll actually feel like baby peas or like little broccoli florets. And you'll usually feel those on both sides. And after a while, you'll actually start to feel them throughout your breast very often before your baby eats. And then what will happen is as the feed proceeds, you can actually walk your fingers around and tell where your baby is able to, where your baby has done a good job of getting fill out of there, and also and getting your milk down to let down well, and also places where you might be able to do what's called breast compression when the baby slows down to get some more milk out of there. So that's another good way to know if you're if you truly have a low milk supply or not. Because sometimes there'll be spots where you realize, gee, there's absolutely nothing here, but there is something over here. So getting to know a little bit more about that can be really helpful. And then another thing that can help is to pump, but pumping can also be a liar. Because different moms, you know, we tend to have a letdown differently to a baby than we do to a pump. So that's some of the things that I'm looking at when I'm looking at a true milk supply. And, you know, there's a rule in lactation, and that rule, the number one rule from Linda Smith is feed the baby. And then the second rule is the mother knows. And then the third rule is if you think the mother doesn't know, go back and read number two again, because the mother knows.
Right. Well, you know, sometimes, I mean, all that you said is great. And sometimes moms are still sabotaging themselves when they think that their baby's constantly at the breast, right? And they think, well, my baby's always hungry. What else could that be if it's not a low milk supply?
Yes, babies can be hungry, but they can also have lots of other things that they're trying to tell us, like my belly's awfully full and I don't know how to tell you about it, or there's an awful lot going on in this household today and I don't know what to do about it. I don't like it when you've got the TV on. That little blue light on your phone is keeping me up at 2:33 in the morning. So many other different things can be going on. We also know that there are growth spurts, days when babies, they're also sometimes called wonder days, when babies just seem to be making developmental leaps, and sometimes getting your milk supply up is a part of that. And also, there's another thing that happens right around 6 weeks, that where the baby starts stooling a lot less often because their guts are actually becoming more mature, like somewhere between 6 and 8 weeks. The baby's also starting to nurse for shorter amounts of time. And part of that has to do with the fact that we get more efficient at throwing that milk right into the baby's mouth with better letdowns, but babies also become more efficient. But the other thing that happens at that point is that moms actually go from an endocrine control of lactation to an autocrine control of lactation. And so what happens is our breasts don't feel full anymore. So like, what is going on with that? So that's another time that can really fool us. And then the other thing that we've talked about a little bit already is, and this I always found this very interesting, was in Australia for many years, mothers found that their biggest problem was too much milk. And here in the United States, we usually think that our problem is not enough milk. And one of the big differences is how much support we get postpartum from the village.
You know, sometimes moms can help determine what their baby, you know, is doing at the breast by doing like a pre and post feed weight check, maybe at a local breastfeeding support group or something like that.
Absolutely.
When they're concerned, because a lot of times, you know, one visit may not be enough. It may be just a snapshot of just maybe the baby wasn't particularly hungry at that moment, but maybe the next feed would be a super large feed. So sometimes taking into everything into consideration, not just one thing and dwelling on that, but a lot of times the instincts of the mother, you know, reaching out to ask or question her situation with an experienced lactation consultant should be helpful in determining whether or not that baby really does struggle at the breast.
Right, great.
When we come back, we will discuss with Dawn how to choose the right galactagogues and which ones you might want to avoid. We will be right back.
This podcast is sponsored by Skylight Calendar. Let's be real. Running a household can be exhausting and chaotic. And finding the perfect Mother's Day gift, it's not exactly a no-brainer. Until now. The Skylight Calendar is the best way to organize the family and give everyone, especially mom, some peace of mind to enjoy the things that matter most. The Skylight Calendar is a smart, touchscreen calendar that keeps track of and manages the chores, dinner planning, groceries, and to-dos for the whole family. The Skylight Calendar automatically syncs each family member's digital calendars and displays them all together on one color-coded touchscreen. It even doubles as a digital picture frame so you can finally share all those special moments that are just sitting on your phone. As a limited-time offer for our listeners, get 15% off your purchase of a Skylight calendar when you go to skylightcal.com/easy. That's SKYLIGHTCAL.com/easy. Get 15% off your Mother's Day purchase now at skylightcal.com/easy.
Welcome back to the show. We are here with IBCLC Dawn Kursula, and we're talking about popular galactagogues and their impact on milk supply. Dawn, what are the most common or popular galactagogues used today?
And you know what? This is going to be very interesting because I hope that your listeners are going to call in and tell you what they've been using, because this is another thing. We don't know nationwide or worldwide what's number one. I'm guessing that mother's milk tea is probably right up towards the top. And this is very region specific is what I found, but I'm going to give you like some of the top three in this area for herbs and foods, and then go on to some of the favorite herbal tinctures that are used in this, at least in my area. So mother's milk tea, I would say, is probably number one. Jack Newman's recipe for fenugreek and blessed thistle is probably another one of the favorites. And I do speak around the country, so this is one that I hear about everywhere. I was actually very surprised. I was in Kansas City, and someone was asking me, how much fenugreek and blessed thistle I told mothers to take when they went back to work. And I was like, oh, I've never told them that. It's like, people can go back to work and not do that? Well, they can, but that's probably one of the very favorites, is fenugreek and blessed thistle. It does bother some people's stomach, as Bethany was saying earlier, you know, that just didn't make her feel good. And actually, that's true with many of these galactagogues. Chitavari is very, very popular in this area. And I don't know whether that's popular in your area. It's actually called, the herb for the woman who has 1,000 husbands, because it can also raise your libido. But very, very, moms in this area have had very, very good luck with chitavari. And oats is also like very, very popular in this area, both as let's have a nice big bowl of oats with cinnamon and maple syrup, Vermont maple syrup in the morning, but also in lactation cookies. And lactation cookies, moms around here like to make their own. So very often those have oats, flaxseed, and brewer's yeast in them. And I can certainly remember taking brewer's yeast with my babies. That was one of my favorite galactagogues.
Right. Well, how do you know which ones to use? I mean, there's so many out there to choose from. Do you just kind of randomly pick, spin the bottle kind of thing and go, oh, this one works? Or do you have like a step-by-step process on how to choose or pick one that's going to work better for you? And then how long should you stick to it?
Yeah, I know this is such a complicated issue in so many ways. But if we're back to Linda Smith's rules that the mother knows, and as moms start to think about, you know, what is it that I'm trying to target here? And so I would say that, you know, if you're saying to yourself, I'm not sure what's going on here, I just feel like I could probably pump up my supply, I would say, like, why not make yourself some cookies or have a big bowl of oatmeal in the morning? Because that's something that you might already have in the house where you're not going to have to go out and buy something that's going to be expensive that might not work. So, you know, I would definitely start with something like oatmeal. if you didn't have breast changes during pregnancy, I would definitely get yourself online and take a look at finding sufficiency and looking at insufficient glandular tissue and some of the information that we have out there. And in a situation like that, you might be looking at something like goat's rue, and that would be something where if you've got insulin resistance and you had gestational diabetes, that would be something that would be worth taking a look at. And oatmeal is also going to help with that one. Mother's milk tea is something that if you like the taste of it, it tastes a lot like licorice. And so if that's something that you like, and you usually need to drink about a quart of that a day, but you can get a pretty bad case of diarrhea with if you start taking more than that. So like if you start taking that and you start smelling like maple syrup, because that's when you know that you're at the right clinical amount, that's considered to be your sweat and your pee will start smelling like maple syrup if you're getting the right amount of fenugreek. And usually you would, like, if you go 4 or 5 days on those and you realize, yes, this is starting to make a difference, then you're good to go. And usually up to 10 days with the fenugreek, either in mother's milk tea or in capsules, is considered pretty good. So that would be for either for insulin resistance or just in general. If your baby didn't get to the breast early and often in the hospital, you might be looking at doing something with your, making sure that the prolactin is still in your system and staying in your system a little bit longer to work on those receptors. And so in that situation, you might try Shatavari. That might be a good choice. And then if you're having a hard time with your letdown, with your pumping, and you're having a hard time with just sort of feeling on the ball in general, so, you know, mother's milk tea is not a bad thing. Oatmeal is not a bad thing. Starting yourself on some fenugreek and blessed thistle. And again, thinking about, you know, what is the main reason why I'm doing this?
Bethany, I know that you mentioned earlier that you had tried oatmeal and the fenugreek. Was there any other ones that you had tried?
I did the oatmeal. Almonds was another one that was, I think, high on the food you should eat list. So, you know, I would have my big bowl of oatmeal with cinnamon and almonds and drink it with my morning mother's milk tea while I, you know, am taking my capsules of fenugreek at the same time. And it got down to the point where, you know, I was eating the oatmeal every day. And if I cut the other, you know, 3 or 4 things out that I was doing, the oatmeal was making somewhat of a difference. And I would, you know, I would feel fuller, but the fenugreek hurt my stomach. And I love black licorice, so the tea was not an issue. But the more I drank it and took it, it would hurt my stomach. And you know, I noticed that my, you know, that Elliot was fussy, especially with the fenugreek. As soon as I stopped taking it, you know, a day later, his fussiness went away. And so that was something for me. The oatmeal helped a little bit, but the other things just made my stomach hurt and made his stomach hurt, I would imagine. So those are the things that I stopped. I kept drinking the tea a little bit, but mostly just kept eating oatmeal.
Are there any ones that we should avoid or why we should avoid them?
Well, there's actually a really nice article online by Frank Nice. He is a pharmacist, and it's called Common Herbs and Foods Used as Galactagogues. I'm just going to give you a couple of the things that I happen to know about, and also some of the things that I read in here that are sort of representative of things to be thinking about. One of them is like fenugreek. If you have a ragweed allergy or a peanut allergy or chickpeas, soybeans, and green peas, you should stay away from fenugreek. You should stay away from blessed thistle if you're allergic to things in the daisy family. Obviously, if you have an oat allergy, and some people do, you should stay away from that. Another thing that is very popular in Eastern European countries as a galactagogue, like I'm Polish, and my son spent time in Poland, and he's very into nettle tea, but he's very careful about where he gets nettles from, because nettles actually take up heavy metals in the soil. So if you think about how we've all had to become more careful about where our rice comes from, because they put rice fields into places that were contaminated with heavy metals. Well, you're going to have to be pretty careful about where your nettle is coming from here in the United States. I wouldn't just go to the drugstore and buy something that says that it's, you know, that it's safe, because they're not always safe. You want something that's okay by the U.S. Pharmacopoeia, or, you know, a quality herb whenever possible. So I would say, you know, don't buy the cheapest. Buy something from, you know, like a co-op is very often going to be a place where you're going to be able to get something that's a good quality.
Okay. Well, thank you. Thank you so much, Dawn and Bethany, for sharing this helpful information about how to recognize a low milk supply and how to choose a Galactigo to protect your breastfeeding relationship with your baby. And for our Boob Group Club members, our conversation will continue after the end of this show, as Dawn will discuss prescription Galactigogues and why or when it is necessary to choose it. And for more information about our Boob Group Club, please visit our website at newmommymedia.com.
All right, it's time for a segment called Mama Hacks, where you guys are able to send us your breastfeeding and pumping hacks, things that you've discovered over time in breastfeeding and pumping for your babies, and little tips that you want to give other mothers out there. And I'm going to totally butcher this name. I'm so sorry. I think it's Katja. Sorry if that is wrong. But she says, learn about hand expression during pumping and breastfeeding to maximize yield, efficiency, and fat content. This makes a tremendous difference and can even increase your overall milk supply over time. And, you know, we've talked about hand expression different times here on the Boob Group, but Leilani, I'd love to get your perspective on it and just the overall importance of hand expression.
Well, actually, hand expression can be super helpful in the first few days if for some reason your baby was sent to the NICU.
Okay.
And you were separated and the hospital will tell you maybe you need to start pumping. Well, actually, if you do hand expressions, you'll remove a lot more colostrum. You'll have a lot better production than you would had you just used a pump. So right. First 3 days, super important hand expression if you are separated from your baby. On the other note, if you are breastfeeding and you notice that your baby is slowing down on the suck and swallow, start massaging and you'll start moving more milk, makes baby more active, which how our bodies work is as the baby demands, that's how our supply is created. So it's about demand first, then the supply follows. So the more you get the baby to suck, the better milk is removed, the more it gets replaced. So it's super helpful. And it is right about, you know, fatter, you know, the fat content is, you know, near the end mm-hmm. of your cycle. So when you're massaging and moving that out, you're actually creating more fat intake for the baby.
You know, I remember right after my twins were born, it was like you said, it was in that first 3 days, and my full milk supply hadn't come in, but I had a lot of colostrum. And I remember I had to do a lot of hand expression because the babies were preemies. I mean, I was 35 weekers, so not super preemie, but then they didn't have to go to the NICU, but they were still not quite able to latch, you know. And I mean, I was holding them at the breast and we were doing a lot of skin to skin, but there wasn't a lot of transfer of milk, you know. And so I remember doing a lot of hand expression and the nurse coming in, and I'm sure, you know, lactation consultants too, coming in and showing me exactly how to do it. And I remember getting like this little cup, you know, I mean, it's not a very big cup, you know, it's like the stuff they put like
medicine
in, mm-hmm. you know, the pills and stuff in. And so I remember squeezing into that and they made me feel like queen of the world, because they're like, you have all this colostrum, this is so fantastic. Like, I wanted to run around screaming going, look what I did. But and for, you know, the fat content, that's important because the babies don't need a lot of milk, obviously, in the beginning, those first 3 days, but they probably do need, you know, they need substance, and it's probably really important that colostrum has that fat content in it, right?
Well, yeah, I mean, part of that, true, but it's just removing as much colostrum as possible. And
right,
hand expression will remove more colostrum than pumping in the first few days, yeah.
All right. Well, thanks so much for submitting this.
That wraps up our show for today. We appreciate you listening to The Boob Group. Don't forget to check out our sister show, Preggy Pals for Expecting Parents, Newbies for Newly Postpartum Moms, Parent Savers for Moms and Dads with Infants and Toddlers, and Twin Talks for Parents with Multiples. Thanks for listening to The Boob Group, your judgment-free breastfeeding resource.
This has been a New Mommy Media production. The information and material contained in this episode are presented for educational purposes only. Statements and opinions expressed in this episode are not necessarily those of New Mommy Media and should not be considered facts. While such information and materials are believed to be accurate, it is not intended to replace or substitute for professional medical advice or care, and should not be used for diagnosing or treating healthcare problem or disease or prescribing any medication. If you have questions or concerns regarding your physical or mental health or the health of your baby, please seek assistance from a qualified healthcare provider.
New Mommy Media is expanding our lineup of shows for new and expecting parents. If you have an idea for a new series, or if you're a business or organization interested in joining our network of shows through a co-branded podcast, visit newmommymedia.com. Hey, mamas. Don't forget to check out Mighty Moms. It's our online community built for new moms just like you. Not only can you connect with other moms, but you can also join us backstage for special mom-only online events. And you'll also be notified when we're recording so you can join us as a special guest. Visit our website, newmommymedia.com, and click on the Mighty Moms banner. It's free. That's newmommymedia.com. See you there.